Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Holy Ghost Radio Show, a spirit-filled show with a prophetic mandate to reach the lost and impact God's people with biblical and revelation knowledge. We pray that the Word of God will make a difference in the lives of every listener. So tell a family member, friend, and a neighbor to tune into this life-changing message. Be blessed.
Well, hello, everyone. I am your host, Tiana Copeland. We come in today for another Holy Ghost-filled radio show with Apostle Bowman and Prophetess Sharonda. A lot of you guys already know they will be with us at least once a week. You guys, if you guys have any questions, please don't forget when you call in, press the number one. Tonight's show, we have the title is going to be Prayer, Fasting, and Spiritual Warfare, but I want to let you guys know it is subject to change due to the Holy Ghost. I want you guys to help me welcome Apostle Bowman and Prophetess Riley. How you guys doing today?
Great.
Amen.
Great. Amen. Great. So you guys, we ready to just let the Holy Ghost take over. I know Apostle was saying that he wanted to talk a little bit about spiritual warfare, and that's one of the topics that I would really love for him to talk about, because I'm still, a lot of things I don't understand fully about spiritual warfare. So can you kind of just touch on that for us on this evening?
Sure. Again, I still have to say it's such a privilege to speak on behalf of really the Lord and really to the saints of God, and especially through this radio show. Prior to this, we are so thankful just to be guests, because this is truly a Holy Ghost radio show. It's truly a privilege, and we're just honored. First, I want to say that. But really, when it comes to spiritual warfare, I think typically we think about it in a 21st century type attitude, like, you know, 21st century attitude, like, oh, well, you know, spiritual warfare is, you know, casting out devils and, you know, people floating around and a whole lot of possessions and this, that, and the other as far as demonic warfare. And I think sometimes we either don't dig deep enough or look deep enough to understand that as long as we are on planet Earth, and I have to really say that, we are going to have warfare. We're going to be in warfare because the enemy is not our friend.
Yes.
Especially, and many of you, even if you're not saved, this is the night to be saved, because, you know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you are human, you are made in the image and the likeness of God, whether you're saved or not, and the enemy hates your guts just for that one reason. And then when you come into the body of Christ and come to the knowledge, same knowledge of Jesus Christ, you come to understand that you are now an enemy of someone who is very powerful, and you're the enemy of powers that you can't even comprehend. So you have to be in Christ. So I think a lot of times we get confused thinking that spiritual warfare started out with just casting out devils, and it's not that. Spiritual warfare is really the conflict between heaven and hell, to the point that God really wants to bring the kingdom down to earth. He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And I think a lot of times we have to understand that we are in really trying to put this in the plainest of terms, so I don't confuse anybody, because you got a lot of people on here, even on tonight, that may not even have heard about spiritual warfare or are in spiritual warfare and do not know it.
Yes.
And in the plainest of terms, all I can say is spiritual warfare is just practice for what you're going to do when you leave Earth. And it's not going to be forever. But one day we're going to fight in the real. We always sing the song, you know, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. But I don't think we understand that one day you're really going to have to fight next to Jesus Christ if you are the righteous and if you are the redeemed. Because he is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. But the final return, the real, what is called the second coming of Christ, we're mm-hmm. supposed to be with him on white horses. I just revisited that in the book of Revelation. And I was like, wow, God, we have a job to do. So what we're really doing is pulling heaven down to earth, and we're arresting the enemy. Yes, he has rule and rank here in the earth because he's the principality of the air, and he seeks to control times, and he seeks to control seasons and people and territories. But we have been sent here to take dominion. The dominion has been given back over to man. Adam mm-hmm. relinquished that dominion when he sinned against God, and he handed over title deeds to the enemy. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. And through the process, yes, God, through the time and eternity, through the law and the prophets, and through mm-hmm. even Jesus Christ coming, dying, being resurrected, and sitting at the right hand of God, coming again for us, he has given us all that dominion that was lost plus more. To the yes. point that had the Jews knew that he would give us that kind of power, had they known that he was the very Son of the living God, they would have not given, they wouldn't have even laid a hand on him. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Mm-hmm.
So spiritual, and I think one thing we got to understand is that spiritual warfare is not carnal warfare.
It's spiritual.
You know, it's the lateral level, and I always teach this, but the lateral level or the horizontal level of warfare is not spiritual warfare. You have not really tapped spiritual warfare until it becomes vertical. You beefing with your friends and people talking about you, and that's a horizontal level of warfare, but that's not truly spiritual. That's just quarrels and disagreements and misunderstandings.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are being accosted and fought by things you cannot see, by forces
mm-hmm.
you cannot put your finger on, then it becomes spiritual.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
I think we really need to understand that
mm-hmm.
part of spiritual warfare.
Wow, that's awesome. And I'm glad you kind of broke that down, because most people think it's all about just demons and, like you say, floating around and all this here stuff, but it really goes deeper than that. So,
yeah,
that's awesome. So
yeah,
Go ahead.
No, I'll just add to that. We just have so many people, prophets, that, number one, want to be seen, and you're a prime target for the enemy to mess you over.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two, we have a lot of people that, well, I want to cast this out. You don't run, and I think I read this in one of the books, if not one of the books, I read it in a manual this morning. But
mm-hmm.
nobody, glory, I'm really, y'all know me, I really be trying not to
go
be
ahead,
a
son
of all like that, because I just
go
get
ahead.
Filled up. But, but you have an enemy now. I don't think
mm-hmm.
people really get that. And we have so many people, prophetess,
mm-hmm.
that the word says that no one that is in warfare, no one that has been sent to war, is they don't play around, they don't mingle in
mm-hmm.
common things or the things of a civilian, because they have now become a soldier. So civilian life does not dictate their life as a soldier. As a soldier, all your needs are provided for. You don't beg for anything. You don't want for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to now protect the home base. Your job is to protect mankind. Your job is to protect everyone around you. You're now responsible in warfare for the people that don't have weapons, that don't have the legal right or the access to the weapons that you have. And I think a lot of times we like to run into spiritual warfare, which is just like running into a burning building without equipment. You
mm-hmm.
are not. There's no need for you to run around like Bob the Builder or Superman trying to save people's lives, saying, okay, it's just like someone saying, I'm a firefighter. And you
mm-hmm.
running inside of a burning building with your water hose, with your garden hose that you got from Home Depot,
mm-hmm.
a rubber boot, and a construction helmet, when you don't have the right equipment, not just to fight the fire, but to put the fire out. And I think so many times we get in spiritual warfare as a means to an end. We get in spiritual warfare, don't know the names of demons, don't know what to really call them, don't know how to pray, not just fervently, but effectively.
Yes.
So we put out fires for a little bit. But if you can't get to the root of it, the fire is somewhere still in the house burning, and you can't put it out because you're not dressed. Oh, I hear you, Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And I think before we delve in a spiritual warfare, we must be dressed.
That's right.
Yes.
You cannot fight the enemy, and you are not dressed for the fight.
Mm. It talks
Amen.
About it in Ephesians.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. Now this, I hear you, Lord. I know where it's going to go. Praise God.
It talks about it in Ephesians, putting on the whole armor. You got to have on the armor.
And one part of the armor that we often forget, we all go through, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. You know, we have our loins girt about with truth, the belt of truth. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have our shield of faith. But we forget that it says, and praying in all prayers,
yes,
in the Spirit.
Yes.
Mm.
Praying in the Holy Ghost, sorry somebody, is part of your armor.
Yes.
You can't fight in the spirit realm in English. Your tongues let the Lord know what he needs to do. Because it's the Lord fighting the battle. You're not even fighting with the armor you got on. You're just fighting to stand. Now that's a word right there. You are fighting for the stand. He didn't say use the word. He didn't say use the sword. I want you to swing it this way. No, he said, I just want you to hold it. I just want you to be stabilized. I want you to be still. And the enemy that you see, you will not see again. But you have to stand still in the salvation of the Lord. That's what he wants you to do. And the Lord fights the battle. We try to pull down strongholds, not knowing that they're mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. You can't pull nothing down you're already in. It takes somebody mightier than you are on the outside of that thing to pull you out and then pull the stronghold down. Because if he pulls something down while you're in it, you will be crushed. You'll never make it out of that thing. So God pulls you out, then he pulls a stronghold down. Thank you, Jesus. Why am I preaching? We need to get back to interview. I'm just feeling the Holy Ghost right there. Thank you,
Oh,
Jesus.
My God. Can you talk about that again?
We ain't out yet, prophetess.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Trying to pull down principalities and powers. And I remember somebody told me, I'm taking down. I said, what are you doing today? They said, I'm just blessed to the Lord. I'm just blessed. And I'm like, I didn't ask you. I'm like, I'm glad you're blessed. But how are you? I was asking you how you were. And the person said, I'm just going through today, but I really feel that I'm going to be pulling down principalities by the time I reach lunch at Chick-fil-A. And I said, there's no way in the world you're going to pull down any principalities, any powers, any rules of the darkness of this world or spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, and you are still a sinner. You can't pull nothing down and you can't stop watching this and you can't stop touching Susie and David and John and, yes, you just can't do it. It's not going to happen. You can't smoke weed talking about I'm going to cast this devil out. It don't work like that. It don't work like that.
Ooh, you saying something now. You got to be pure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, glory.
Wow. It's so funny you said that because me and my mom was just talking about that. I used to talk about the prophetic, and I was saying how you have hit and miss prophets, and you got prophets that's so sharp. And she said the reason why, because you have to be pure. You have to be whole.
Wow. And God will kill you to make sure you stay that way. I think a lot of people... Sometimes we give people too much credit for staying pure because it's really God humbling to keep us pure, you know? I think sometimes we're, and that's sometimes we get in trouble because we'll make those out of people that we think are pure. You know, we stopped and started idolizing so many people who came through the Azusa movement and everything else. And sometimes the fact that those mantles haven't died, God's waiting for us to pick them back up and do works than he did. But Number one, we got to be pure, and we have to be in our place. My fight may not be your fight.
Mm-hmm. That's
you know,
right.
You know, everyone has something that they have been commanded to take down. As far as my assignment in the spirit realm, it's with a lot of things that come from the realm of Babylon
mm-hmm.
and the system of this world, and bringing people back to God, back to the glory of God, back to the face of God. Well, someone else, assignment may be a little bit more mystic, or someone else may deal with comics in the kingdom, or someone else may deal with the art of the prophetic, or someone else's assignment may deal with government and,
mm-hmm.
and people in government or in the marketplace. So it really mm-hmm. takes us understanding our role as well, because you can't fight the devils I fight. Oh, glory mm-hmm. to God, somebody. You know, you cannot say, you know, and that's why I was saying you got to war in the spirit, in the Holy Ghost. Yes, with your prayer language, so that
mm-hmm.
God hears it and he knows mm-hmm. what to do to the enemy. Because nobody, not even the devil, understands tongues.
Yes.
So you're praying in the spirit with
mm-hmm.
all prayers, help the Lord understand and know. When you pray in the spirit, we talk about prayer and fasting and stuff, so
yes.
thank you, I'm right on the vein. When you
yes.
pray, mm-hmm. glory. When you pray in the spirit, you are praying the divine will of God. So you can be praying in English for a car and an open door opportunity and for a new job, and God, and then you start praying in tongues, and God hears, oh, God, humble me. Oh, God, I need brokenness. Oh, God, teach me how to wait. Teach me how to lean on you. Teach me how to trust you. And then you go back asking for simple stuff until the point you go back to praying in tongues. And then after a while, here come the tears. And here comes that real desire. And you say, you know what, God? You know what? Forget what I just asked for. If you want it for me, then glory to God. But if it be thy will, God, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not
mm-hmm.
my will, but thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
When you pray in tongues, you pray the divine will of God. You pray
mm-hmm.
the perfect will of God, whether you know it or not, because
mm-hmm.
that's the Spirit praying through you.
Wow. It's so funny you saying that about tongues. That was one of the questions that I was getting ready to ask you. I remember one time I was in a service, and I'm going to be honest with you, 95% of my prayer is tongues. And I was in a service, but the people tried to make me feel like because I didn't pray in English, I wasn't really praying. But for me, I pray in tongues. I can't help it. It's just in me.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to say that and realizing when we pray in tongues, it's not our flesh praying to God. We are really praying in the spirit of the things that he needs to know, not a house, a car, Lord, help me, and all this here stuff. He already knows. So when you pray in tongues, you're praying in the spirit.
Yeah.
Right.
I think a lot of times people need discernment. They need to discern the spirit, because you do have people that are different from you, prophetess. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're in a group of people that pray in the spirit, because that's the way they've been taught to pray, by the Spirit of God to
mm-hmm.
pray. And
mm-hmm.
pray in the spirit. You know, and the word says I pray in, you know, with my understanding and without understanding. And both of them help you to find, okay, this is what I should be praying for when you go back and forth. And the thing is that, you know, your prayer was sincere, but there are some jokers out here
mm-hmm.
nowadays, prophetess, that
mm-hmm.
have stolen folk tongues, that will pray in those tongues, and they really don't know how to pray. They're just happy they got tongues and just praying.
You know, it's so funny. It seemed like you've been in our house. Because that's one of the things that me and my mom was talking about. I said, I don't understand how people can copy tongues. Even when I
yeah.
first got saved and I would see people or hear people speaking in tongues, I'm like, how do they do that? I don't understand it, but it's people that really can mimic tongues.
Because it's a familiar spirit.
That's right.
Yes.
Anybody that you hang around long enough, you're going to pick up some of their gestures, including tongues.
Yeah.
That's why my problem, and God help me, but some of the people that I've seen pray in the South, y'all just pray for me, but the tongues sound the same. Now, there is the Holy Ghost, and you can recognize when the Lord is speaking. But there
mm-hmm.
are other times where, you know, Shia and Ya and Oka and he coming in a Hyundai and Shonda and it sounds like you got it from somebody.
Yes.
Now, if it was passed down by way of the Holy Ghost, bless the Lord. But if you sound like your neighbor, then all of you guys are fighting the same fight. Because when you copy somebody's tongues or the way somebody's fighting, you copy their enemy. You get their warfare. And you take on that warfare.
Ooh.
You know?
Yes.
About, you know, speaking in tongues, a lot of people, they get it all mixed up. Some people get an offense when a person prays in plain English. And they never pray in tongues, even though they have the ability to. And some people get in the fence with others who pray strictly in tongues. But one of the most important things in warfare is that both are vital. You can't just, you have to have balance even in warfare. You have to, you can't just pray all the way through in warfare in tongues. And you just, never in English, you just pray straight tongues. It'd be like, now the enemy is defeated, you know, because one thing about the enemy, he knows the words. Just like we do.
Yes.
And because he knows the word, he more than knows the word, you know, and even in the term, you know, of us saying the word no, this means that not only is Satan familiar with the word, but he also understands the word. He knows the power behind the word. He knows what the word is capable of. He knows all of this because of his pre-existence in the heavenlies before. So he already knows what the word did to him when he was thrown out of heaven. So therefore, he tried to distract the saints from being in the word. And then you also have to understand that when you pray in English, you always pray the word of God. God does not respond to anything outside of his word. If you praying, you know, God, I just decree and declare right now by the name and the power of Jesus Christ that this marriage over there don't last because he's jumping on her and X, Y, and Z. Well, firstly, in the realm of the spirit, you don't know the situation.
Yeah.
So your best thing to do is to keep your mouth out there and pray in the Holy Ghost about things that you know that you do not understand. I was taught, you know, coming up in my household, when my sister was getting the whooping, I didn't jump in it. You know, I didn't get in other people's stuff. When my mama was whooping my sister, I didn't get in all that because if I jumped in it, knowing she was wrong, then I got one too. In that case, so your best thing, and I'm just using that for an example as far as somebody beating on somebody else, your best thing to do with that is to pray the perfect will of God concerning that. God, let your perfect will be done in that relationship. I decree that right now in the name of Jesus. You know, you pray the mind of Christ. You pray the will of God in any situation that there seems to be warfare, even when warfare manifests itself into the natural realm where we start going through things, you always pray the exact word of God. You don't ever pray outside of the word of God. And then you pray in your heavenly language because, see, what happened is, see, the Holy Ghost know the situation because you can look at a man and say, God, I speak death to this man for jumping on that woman, but you didn't see where the woman was constantly punching this man in the face.
Exactly.
And he just hauled off and hit it. That's just an example. I know somebody's like, where is prophet is going? You don't know. You don't always know the situation. So when you in warfare for somebody, when you pray in the Holy Ghost gonna respond correctly to the situation. And gonna say, all right, we come against the spirit of strife. We come against the enemy or this particular demon that comes, you know, on an assignment. Because I've been learning a lot these past few days with this blessing. Woman God, I thank God for you. Because when I tell you, we pray against her and we pray without an understanding. But what we don't understand that the Lord understands and that the word of God understands is this, that there are certain demonic hierarchies and there are certain rankings in the realm of the spirit that are assigned to your life to cause certain things.
That's right.
So
that's
something
right.
has to happen between me and the apostle. I don't need you praying against me and the apostle and praying that we split up because you see that because of a certain situation, we ain't supposed to be together. And that's why it happened, because you don't understand why things happen the way that they happen. So it's always important that in warfare that you always decree and declare that the perfect will of God be done. I don't care what it is. And when you know that something has happened and it has went directly against the word of God, then you can pray according to your understanding was given you by the word of God. For instance, let's say somebody said, you better pray for me because I'm going to kill this person. Okay, you go in warfare right now. I bind the spirit of strife. I bind the spirit of murder because, God, you said that thou shalt not kill it, and thou shalt, you can go through all of that. Then you can pray the word of God concerning that because the word of God is specific in that. But we also have, you know, people who are so ignorant to the devices of the enemy, to when we engage in the warfare, we don't know what we're talking about. We didn't know anything. I was in the library one time, and there was a woman of God. She saw me standing, and this is going to blow some of y'all mind, and I care, but I don't. But, you know, it's almost like this woman said, why are you standing in this section if you're saved? Because she said, I had on a Jesus shirt and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And but I was standing in an occultic section looking up books on the occult. And so she said, I just couldn't help but know you got on this Jesus shirt and you're standing in the occultic section. So what are you doing? Are you on assignment in school or something? I said, no, ma'am. She said, so if you don't mind me asking, what kind of book are you looking for? I said, books on the occult. And she said, okay, well, you do seem a little confused. I said, I understand exactly why you're confused. I said, but this is why I wore the Jesus show, but I'm in the occultic section, because I got to know how to fight this enemy that keeps fighting against me. And sometimes for me, it's just not enough for me to say, Jehovah, Gabor, you know, contend with those that contend with me. You know, and things like that. We have to be knowledgeable of the enemy, and I'm not recommending everybody do that, because God may not be calling you to that. If God didn't call you to that, don't you do it. But in my case, and at that particular timing, you know, that's where God was leading me. And what really disturbed me about this woman of God, she said, oh, I understand now. Okay. She said, well, I just don't want to study anything on Satan. I don't want to know nothing about the devil. I just want to know about God, and I just want to know about Jesus. And as long as I got God in my heart, it's just everything going to be all right.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I'm like, okay, all right. This woman's going to go on and start talking about the illnesses that she was dealing with and all these other different things. And I said, okay, well, you keep on having God in your heart, and I'll be praying for you. And, you know, because I'm just looking like, you know, some of the sicknesses that we deal with are not from God. You know, some people say, well, you know, that person was sinning, and that person did this, and that person did that, and you know, the Lord to come on their body. But what about the believer? What about somebody who's been never saved, who's been sanctified, who has separated themselves from the unclean thing, somebody who has consecrated themselves, and they live every day before the Lord to the best of their ability and according to God has been given them, but yet they're still struck with the illness. Look at the woman of God who called in on the line and had breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Or she had a mass or this huge lump in her breast. If that sickness, if that infirmity came directly from the Lord, and if God wanted it there, it still would have been there right now.
Yes,
but because it was not from God, and because it was a spirit of infirmity, and that spirit has a name. No, the spirit name is not cancer. No, it's not called mass and lung. It's not even called the spirit of infirmity. But because the Lord knows by name, and because the Lord knew that he did not send it to be to that woman of God, she was delivered. And she was delivered not because of us, not because of what apostle did or what prophetess prayed or anything else, or because Tyana opened up the doors, you know, for the spirit of prayer to come through, but because of her faith. And a lot of times we are defeated in warfare because we don't even believe what we're praying. You pray the word, you know the word, you can quote the scriptures up and down until you're red, pink, and blue in the face, but do you believe what you're praying? Because if you don't believe what you're praying, it's best for you not to pray at all and just get somebody who will believe God for you until you're able to come up and you understand it. We can't be like the man of God that came to Jesus and said, you know what, I believe, but help my unbelief. Okay, I don't need you to pray. I need you to just, you know, we need you to go to God and ask God to help you with your unbelief. Mm-hmm, and then you can start engaging into warfare, because it's a dangerous thing to engage into a fight and you don't know what you're doing, and you don't even know about the weapons that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You're not capable. You know, I'm sitting up here. I used to tell people all the time, I want me a Desert Eagle. I want a Desert Eagle because I'm going to have something for a man to try to break in my house and try to harm my babies and you know, try to harm me in front of my children. I'm going to get a Desert Eagle. And my brother said, do you know the power of a Desert Eagle? Can you handle that?
Mm-hmm.
He said, you can't even handle a 9mm, so how you going to handle a Desert Eagle? And I said, well, a gun is a gun. And they said, if you shoot a Desert Eagle, this is for anybody who knows anything about guns, if one person who's never handled a gun before in their life shoot a Desert Eagle, it will knock the fire out of you. Will knock
mm-hmm.
you, it will break your face. It was because the power that their gun has, when the bullet goes out, the force is so hard and it's so heavy to where if you don't have strength
mm-hmm.
to use the weapon that you got, it'll come backwards on you and you'll punch yourself in the face with the gun because of the power.
Yes,
so
yes.
So you do more stuff to yourself than you've done to your own enemy or to your opponent.
Yeah.
And it's the same way in the realm of the spirit. So we got a lot of weapons under our belt. We have a lot of things that we know. We have knowledge of the word, but we don't even understand the power that this word possesses. So we carry a double-edged sword, and we don't know the capabilities of it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. That's awesome. Well, Apostle and Prophetess, I have a call. Someone getting well, want to ask a question or a prayer. But before I do that, I have someone actually sent me a text message, and he said he didn't mind if I, you know, say his name. But his name is Dion, and he said he has a question. He said I have a calling on my life as a pastor. I was told by only one person that he didn't feel like that's where the Lord was taking me to. I've had dreams of preaching to thousands at one time. Do I recover what he said or stick to what I know? I have as many dreams of me preaching to thousands in one setting.
Okay.
And what was the question?
I guess he want to know. Okay, he said he has a calling on his life as a pastor. He said he was told by only one person that he didn't feel like that's where the Lord was taking him to. He said he's had dreams of preaching to thousands at one time. He said, do I recover what he said or stick to what he knows, stick to what I know, meaning he, the person. He said he has had many dreams of him preaching to thousands in one setting. And I'm assuming he wants to know, do he stick to what he know he's called to, or do he listen to the person that said that he don't think that's where the Lord was leading him at?
The one thing, and I know Proverbs has something on this too, but you stick with what God said.
That's right.
Okay.
We get in trouble because we don't stick with what God says. And I'm
mm-hmm.
seeing that really in the body of Christ. There's so much doubt. And it's really doubt has a door that comes in and it brings fear with it when we let other stuff in. We let even ourselves, even our own voices, we let our own voices and opinions in, and God, I'm not equipped, and God, I don't have this, and I don't think it was supposed to happen this way. When we don't understand, glory to God. Let me tell you something. Paul was set to go to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And there was someone that came and said, I don't think you're supposed to go. You know, you go ahead to Rome, but when you go, you're going to be in chains. And Paul could have either gotten in fear and said, you know what? They said, if I go, I'm going to be in chains. I don't think I should go. But God said that he must go through Rome. He must go to Rome. There was somebody in Rome that needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when he went, he was in more than chains. The ship got tore up. He was washed ashore. You know, he was almost left for dead, started to build a fire, and a venomous snake bit him. He went through a lot of things, but he still got to Rome, and the message kept spreading. The message and the gospel kept spreading, just like God had told him.
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot be afraid of our own destiny.
That's right.
And I really want to encourage the young man that if God said it, God's going to make it good. I don't care what changes you go through. You cannot change God's mind.
Mm-hmm.
You can change your heart and change the path you go in. But God's word still stands, and the destiny to be a pastor and some more things that I see is going to come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So rely on the Lord, not even on yourself. Because all those dreams are lying.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-mm-mm.
Now, let me tell you what I heard in the spirit. As soon as you begin to read this man of God's text message through your phone, I heard the Lord said, he's humble.
Yeah.
Because he's humble, he could have easily said, well, God called me to be an apostle, when God did call him to be a pastor. But because he said, well, I know that God called me to be a pastor, you're going to have people, just like what Apostle said, and I'm not going to really just go back into what he's saying because I want to tap into the dream aspect of what he's been saying. But you're going to have people, and he's going to have people that's going to come against him about his vision. And if he's not careful, he's going to put himself in the place of Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to go through a heck of a lot to get to the place where he really needs to be. And it's going to all be because of the jealousy of people and because of the jealousy of the anointing that God has placed on his life. Sometimes, you know, the spirit of sabotage will creep in when it pertains to our destiny. Meaning sometimes when a person operates out of the spirit of sabotage, this is a spirit of sabotage to sabotage you of your destiny and your direction in the Lord, where Christ is trying to have you to go to. And sometimes when you let a person know, hey, this is what God has called me to do, sometimes God puts something down on the inside of you, and like Joseph, you get really excited, and you may go before your time and release what the vision that God has given you and the dreams that you have. And then you have those who are almost like Judah and his other brothers who will try to set you in the pit about it and will try to throw you off to something else that was not really intended for you, but still ends up working out for your good. But if it can be avoided, you want to avoid that. Now, the fact that you had dreams about your pastor, and understand this, you didn't give yourself that dream, and you know good and well, Satan did not give you that dream. Satan did not show you a dream of you preaching to thousands.
That's
so
right.
There are three places when it's dealing with dreams, and this is for everybody that's up under the sound of our voices. When you are dreaming, there are three different places or three main places that your dreams come from. It's going to come from the Lord. It's going to come from Satan or the enemy or demonic deities or anything like that, or it's going to come from yourself. You know you didn't make yourself have the dream unless you was like, oh, God, I want to be a pastor so bad. God, I want to be a pastor. Let me pastor. I want to pastor, pastor, pastor until you fell asleep, and then you went to dream and you dreamt about pastoring. Then you may want to question your own motives. I don't see that for you. Then you have where the enemy will put it in your dream. We could skip on to the next person where we know where it came from, because Satan's not going to give you anything that's going to make you tear down his own kingdom, because a kingdom that comes against a kingdom, it cannot stand. A kingdom, one kingdom that's going to try to pursue and warfare or any kind of assignment, they must be able to stand together, because a house divided against itself, it will not stand, which is what Apostle was talking about earlier. Beelzebub cannot cast out Beelzebub, because if that's the case, their assignment will never be done. So the enemy is not going to give you something in your dream that will know that will backfire against his assignment or against your life. Now, skipping to the next part, which we know is accurate, the Lord gave you that dream. So I leave you with this question. Whose report are you going to believe, the report of the Lord or the report of the person that's jealous of the anointing on your life?
Wow. All right, he said he's listening, so... I have two people on, want to come in, so I'm going to bring one in now. So, hello, caller, you're on the line.
Hey, hi, Prophetess Tayana. Hi, Prophetess Sharonda. This is Sister Candace. Thank you. You interpreted my dream. Last week I was at work listening to a replay, and I was the person who called in and had the dream about walk growing out of the earth, the way it's walked. And so I was listening. Thank you for that. I want to even know I heard it. My request is, in everything that has been said, so far is so on point and prevalent to what I'm going through moving on today. But I was a little overwhelmed dealing with spiritual warfare. And at my job, I work in a pharmacy. I transferred to another pharmacy. I've been just dealing with this really Jezebel spirit of control and manipulation, you know. And so part of it is like, you know, I keep every time, every different workplace, it's always the same particular spirit. So it's like, okay, God, are you trying to really teach me, you know, really how to deal with this? And I have the books, and I'm just, you know, been really seeking the Lord, you know. I guess sometimes it does get discouraging because at my job, this person, I had to confront them about some things that they were doing because I did not want this demonic influence, this control in my life. So I did confront them. But, you know, when you confront a controlling manipulator, they will retaliate, and it's going to the place of it's a sabotage, and they're undermining my work. But now the person has even gone in and they're messing with drugs that I'm responsible for. And I'm like, you know, trying to tell management, the pharmacist, I don't know if y'all understand the seriousness of this, because now you're playing with people's lives, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's something, I'm working third shift. We could be sleepy one night. The pharmacist can be sleepy, and that happens. You know, we mess with something. Now, you know, someone can really get hurt. Thank God I only have to work with that person two nights a week, and I continually report them. But I guess it's discouraging because this person even has, even the pharmacist looking at me crazy, you know. And it's like, Lord, I'm not transferring. I'm not going nowhere. I'm not transferring out of this department. So if anybody gonna go, that person gonna have to go in Jesus' name. But you know, sometimes that it just can get the warfare. It can get heavy, you know. And how do you break out of that and keep your joy? I mean, I was to the point of really crying, and I called the prayer line just to get prayer, you know, dealing with this. And then I'm over the youth ministry at my church, so I got to deal with the teenagers. And this is I know it's a learning lesson and another level for me, but I guess it's like, Lord, help me. Help me. I received the Lord's correction, you know, talk to my pastor this morning on some fine tuning I need to do. And it's like, Lord, I will do this, and I want to try to do my best. I just really need godly wisdom, I guess, is my prayer request to sum it up, and insight.
Wow. I really think the first thing to understand is this is, first of all, God's going to give you peace on your job, but understand, if this is the same young woman that called in about that dream with walk coming out of the earth, and actually the other dream about your husband, you got to understand this is your job. This is not your destiny. And please don't ever get them confused, because can nobody, I don't care how bad they treat me, I may be upset, and sometimes you're going to shed a tear, but sometimes you just have to take it with a grain of salt, because they're not paying you to win them over, or even for them to give you a good time. And just rest in the fact that God is in control of that total situation. There's nothing, actually, God allowed you to be in that situation so to give you the thick skin that you need to, because of the mantle that is on you. Because your husband is coming, and so is your ministry out of you. So this isn't the full-time destiny. You weren't born to be a pharmacist. You weren't born to work there. That's what the Holy Ghost told me to tell you. You weren't born to just, oh, glory. You wasn't born just to handle medicine. But your job is to make sure that the body is well-equipped and that the body knows what's going on. And I really, we really have to get with you. Really, really have to get with you. We've been so busy. We really have to get with you after this call, because I've been seeing some apostolic things on your life. And I really, really just been praying for the warfare, even by the people around you that really don't even understand you. And that's why God's going to begin to have you travel. And you, there's some countries that you're probably just going to have to live in for a couple years that God will take you to. It won't be your own doing. I don't know why I keep seeing you go to London. England. There's some things that God is trying to set up. So don't fight the process. This is to make you. Don't fight it. He's going to give you peace in it. Let the enemy, people of God, understand that the prophetic protocol and the spiritual protocol of God has to have the enemy mess you over first. Because God's job is to show the sinner and the heathen that he's still God. And for your job is not to get upset and start arguing and pointing fingers. Let the devil do what he thinks he's big and bad enough to do. And in your stead, God is going to vindicate you. He's going to vindicate you because you're the righteous. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now, God, not just for a job, but I thank you for the call on a life in the job. I thank you for our light shining, God, so people can see you, God, and glorify you in heaven. God, I ask, God, that you would give a peace. Give a peace in our life, God. Give a peace in this moment of transition. You are changing. You're changing. He's changing you. He's moving you. He's shifting you. God, I thank you for the shifting. I thank you for the upgrading. I thank you for the new harvest. I thank you for the new day in our life, God. It seems like confusion and bewilderment is trying to take over, but God, I speak peace, God. I speak a calm mind. I speak a calm state of mind, Father, in the name of Jesus, that if you keep your mind stayed on him, he's going to keep you in perfect peace. Woman of God, he's going to keep you whole, and he's going to keep you holy in that jar, in your mind. Hallelujah. God, I thank you for the peace, God, in our home. I thank you for the peace with our family. I thank you for the peace in the church, God, in some places that some people don't understand. But I thank you, God, that in the misunderstanding, God, that you give a peace. God, because it's in that mystery realm. It's in that misunderstanding. God, that they can't understand what you're doing in it. She don't even understand. But I thank you, God, for making everything clear, God, so she doesn't just understand it. Because you may understand it at one point and still not like it, but then God gives you peace with what he's about to reveal in your life. God, let it be so. Let it be so for her. In the matchless name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You be encouraged. It ain't over till God says it's over. It ain't over. It ain't begun yet.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, woman of God.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we're going to take another call. Hello, caller. You on the line?
Hi, this is Pastor Mitchell. I just wanted prayer.
Okay. Apostle?
Yes, concerning what you want prayer for?
Well, the enemy has had... my finances kind of held up. It's been like kind of rough for the last 4 months. And I know the Lord has really been wanting me to move out the state I'm in, Wisconsin. And I know the Lord has told me that he wants me in another state, in a state with Tennessee. And I said, well, Lord, you know, finances started going kind of funny here. It's to the point where it's gotten really bad around here, so I was just like, okay, Lord, I've just been praying and not, you know, going, you know, weary over the things that, but appreciate the things that I do have, and just asking the Lord to, for a release. You know, because sometimes it's not about money. Sometimes God just, want me to be patient, and that's what I'm doing. But it's like sometimes getting to the point, like, wow, Lord, I need you right now because it's gotten so bad, like a 911 here. So.
Amen. Okay, basically, I could do a quick prayer for you, but I pretty much have your answer. It's time to go. Anytime calamity breaks out after you've received a word, whether it be from a prophet or whether you've dreamt the word or saw it in a vision or the Lord has spoken this word to you himself and he tells you to leave, than it is for you to leave, especially when all hell breaks loose, because those are signs that that area or that region is spitting you out. You have to understand the different types of spirits and things like that that control certain regions and areas and things of that nature. And you don't know what's going to happen within that region or in the area where you live. So if the Lord is telling you to leave, you know, God doesn't tell us to do things just for himself. And I know you know that. I know you're fully aware of that and you understand. However, it's spitting you out, that whole region. Wherever the Lord tells you to go, that's where you need to go to. I can use Apostle for an example. When the Lord told me to tell him to move to Tennessee, and he was like, nope, not even, not thinking about it, don't go there, whatever. I'm not, God had told me the South. You know, maybe he said Texas, or maybe God said Virginia, but he didn't say Tennessee. And I said, okay, sir. God said, if you don't have your hind parts in the state of Tennessee, that Pittsburgh will begin to spit you out. And you will not be received anywhere else. And just as soon as he received the word, he came and visited Tennessee, and in his visitation here,
wow,
Lord,
that's the same thing happened to me.
Not the pastor, but some of the members called him and told him, hey, guess what? We were in a leadership meeting, and I know you missed it because I know right now you're there in Tennessee, and I know you're going to be back soon, blah, blah, blah. But guess what? Our pastor says she is no longer going to be the pastor here. She's sending this church over to somebody else. She's no longer pastoring. She said God told her to leave Pittsburgh.
Jesus.
That was his cue. Then everything that he thought that was working out for him, all the doors just began to shut. People started leaving him, and, you know, things started happening. The people who were staying with was talking about packing up their bags and moving and, you know, and things like that. And they were like, well, me and my husband, we got to go. And Apostle, I don't know what you're going to do, but it's best that you figure it out, you know, because we got to go too. And, you know. And he had to actually beat them to the punch, and we had to get him to Tennessee.
Jesus. Wow.
I don't know why God is telling you to get to Tennessee, but if the Lord said it, and since money is not an object, it's best that you start going around looking for boxes, and you start packing up those things of yours, and just enjoy your trip.
Amen.
Because as soon as you obey God, he's going to bless your socks off.
Wow.
There's some things that God has for you. There's some things that God wants to do through you and for you. There's some things that God wants to pour into you in this region, in this particular area, so that he can hurry up and place you on assignment. There's a lot of prophets who live in the East Coast and up north. They're moving for some reason coming to Tennessee. And there are prophets who are living in Tennessee, God is telling them to switch. So it's a changing of the guard that's going on in the realm of the spirit, and that is almost over because now there's another season that's about to approach us. So you want to move while God is telling you to move because there's so many, you're not the only one. There's so many other people who God has been speaking to, you know, concerning moving, concerning packing up their bags, not moving across the street, not moving across town, but apparently, like literally leaving their state.
Wow.
Not just, I'm going to stay in the South, moving from East Coast to the West Coast, moving from the North Pole to the South, and moving from the South to the North, and vice versa. You know, God is doing something. He's shifting right now, and you want to be found moving in that shift while God is giving you the instruction, because you don't want to be in a place where God told you to move from
Amen.
And calamity hit.
Amen.
So I'm going to pray for you really quick. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just give you glory, God. We give you the praise and we give you honor, God. And we just thank you for this woman of God. Father, we thank you right now for the decisions that she's already made in her spirit. Father, we thank you right now for the move of God upon her life, God. We thank you for the anointing that you're placing upon her right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you right now for swift obedience, God. Father, we thank you right now that you will give her clear instructions, God. Make it easy for her, God. make this a smooth transition for her in the name of Jesus. Even in her emotions, God, in the name of Jesus, there should be any soul ties that she has linked up with that area, God. We just pray right now that you break the soul tie between her and the area as of which she lives in, God, so that she can transition into the place where you need her to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, we just thank you right now.
Thank
and God, you. When you shift her, and God, when you move her to her designated area, Father, I decree and declare that the doors of heaven will open up for her, God. I decree and declare right now that the windows of heaven will pour out blessings upon her life in the name of Jesus, that she will not have room enough to receive everything that you have for her. Father, I decree and declare that her cabins will be filled, that, Father, she will be blessed beyond measure, God, that she will not go lacking with any shortage or nor insufficiency in her life. But I decree and I declare that the anointing of abundance, I speak the abundance of rain to hit her life right now like never before. In Jesus' name, God, we give you all the glory. And Father, we just thank you for doing everything that you said that you would do concerning her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay, you guys, we don't have any more. We have calls, but they don't want to ask any question. I want to ask another question to the apostle and the prophetess. But before we do that, you guys, please, please share this radio show with anybody, because we really want to see people change, delivered, whatever they need. We want to see a change in the lives of people. But before we get into the next question, I want to ask you guys, the guy Dion that sent me the text message earlier, he want me to thank you guys for giving him confirmation. And he's in the Atlanta area, and he wants to know where you guys will be. I know y'all going there, I think, on the 15th of December, but he wants that information so he can come out and support you guys.
Oh, wow. Praise God. Wow, just happen to have it right here. One second.
Okay.
We're going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, for what's called the God Encounter 2012. I'm trying to get this down here. It's called the God Encounter 2012. It's been brought there by Clarion Call Ministries, and that's going to be held on Friday, December 14th at 7 p.m., and also December the 15th at 4:30 p.m. And that location, I'm going to give you the location. It's at 4VC, the number 4, and the letters VC Street in Newnan, Georgia. That's Newnan, Georgia, N-E-W-N-A-N, Georgia, and zip code is 3026. And I think we have our number as well. But if not, for more details, you can also email me at the word transformation profit at gmail.com. That's the word transformation, then profit at gmail.com to hear more about that. And we'll hope to see you there.
Also, stay in contact with Prophetess, Prophetess Tayana about that, because we have more information that we need to give you concerning that, and the phone number to the ministry line, because if I'm not mistaken, this zip code is not right. I don't think the zip code is accurate. So we want to make sure that you have accurate information on getting there.
Okay. All right. One more thing, Prophetess. Do you want to give out the ministry number? Because I'm having people want to talk to you about dreams and things like that privately. They don't want to really do it all over the radio show. So if you can give out that number, that's fine.
Okay, I sure will. I have to actually pull that number up. I'm so bad at remembering things.
Okay.
At least when it comes down to phone number. So as soon as I pull it up, I'm going to squeeze it in, and I'm going to issue that number out more than once on the line so everyone will have it.
Okay. And again, if you guys want to pray or anything like that, please, when you call in, press 1. But let's kind of continue on. We've been talking about prayer, but I kind of want to get into fasting.
Okay.
And you have so many types of fast. And my question is, what is the best fast to do when you really want to hear from God and you really want the Spirit of God to increase in your life?
Wow. you know, I know a lot of people would probably jump out and say, well, I think it's a 40-day fast, so I think it's 21 days. But I'll be very, very honest in telling you that it's really whatever God tells you to do. Whatever God tells you to do is the fast that's going to break the yoke. He says, this is the fast that I've chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness. So it's really what God tells you, because I may say a 10-day, and God could be telling you do 3 days of nothing but water, you know, and a vegetable or water and juice, and that could break something in and out of your life. So it's really about, when it comes to fasting, it's really about the obedience of the Lord, because nobody can give you a, unless it's a ministry assignment or unless it's a corporate fast, no one can really tell you, and not, what I mean is not tell you how to fast, but no one can really tell you, you got to do it this way or you got to do it particularly this way. Now, I will say this, fasting is not eating fast food.
Amen.
You know, fasting is not eating fast. Fasting is not really eating, to be honest. And some of us, sometimes we need to really just turn our plate over. They laugh at me all the time by saying this, but it's not fast, you know, oh God. Fasting is not a soup and a salad every day until God says something. The best fast to hear God on is the fast that he tells you to do. And that's really the most honest answer I can give you, because some of us do the 40 days, some of us do the Daniel fast, some of us do 10 days, some of us do, you know, 2 days. You know, it's really whatever God is leading you to do. But I would say you really want to give God enough time to get down on the inside of you and really begin to dig you out. And I'll tell you my own testimony. God had taken me, the first fast that really broke something was a Daniel fast. And I really wasn't used to fasting. So God would take me on 7 days and then 10 days until I was ready for a Daniel fast. And then after the Daniel fast, he modeled and helped me to model a 40-day fast that I knew would be acclimated to where I was. And some of you, we don't do this, but we need to start really checking as well with the doctor, because some people have certain conditions. Some people are diabetic, and they can't just up and just fast, you know. We need help with that. So I would say also in fasting, it's not just being religious and spooky, super spiritual, but also being wise and using wisdom. Because some of us want to do just nothing but water. I'm just going to do 50 days of water. And you better kill yourself, because water, when it cleans out your system, it puts nothing back on the inside of you. So you need electrolytes. You need some things that's going to make your brain fire. You need some things that's going to keep you alive while you fast. Yet you're dying to some things. You still got to be alive in order to fast or you'd be dead. So, you know, it's really a use of wisdom.
Exactly.
You know,
and one of the reasons
the Lord.
And one of the reasons why, as I was listening to a minister one day, and he was doing an interview with another prophet, and he was saying that it's something about the 40 days fast, and he was going on when Jesus did the 40 days and 40 night fasting or whatever, and he said a lot of people out of the old generations, like, I'm just going to use the name for instance, like Smith, Wigglesworth, and all these people, they went on 40 day fasts where they shut off to the world. They went on 40 day fasts, and when they came out this fast, it's like their God used them mightily. So I was wondering if it's some kind of significance with the 40 days, because, you know, Jesus did the 40 days as well.
Yeah.
So I was really wondering, is it some kind of, like, significance with the 40-day fast?
Well, the only real deep significance about it, besides it breaking generational things, because 40 is the number of a generation, 40 is also a number of a turnaround, there's some mighty things that happen just with the number 40. A lot of things are broken in 40 days. A lot of habits I know form over 21 days. So you want to break a lot of habits, 21 days might be for you. But if you really want to be taken to a whole nother place, 40 days just might do it. But it's really whatever God says. But the significance about the 40 days is that's a lot of time spent away from being secular and being common. So the longer that you fast and abstain and you know, and retain what God has given you, the longer, you know, the better reach that you have. So it's really the amount of time, and really not just the amount of time, but the quality of that time. Because mm-hmm. I've seen people do a 7-day fast and come out with more power. I'm serious. Really come out with more power than people that went on 40 days being religious. So it's really in the voice of the Lord, because you can't just hop up and do, you know, 40 days and God didn't call you to that realm. And it's really about being in that lane. But if you feel God's calling you to do that, do it. But it's really, I really would say that's the real plumb line to it, or the real standard or foundation about fasting, is hearing God. Because you don't want to mess, jack up yourself, and then, you know, you try to come off the fast, and next thing you know, you 40 extra days in the hospital. So it's really, it's really using wisdom, because a lot of people, Moses as well, God took him up on the mountain. He was up there for those 40 days and 40 nights, and it's really in the voice of the Lord. It's really in the voice of the Lord. So there's some significances with time and that deal with the 40-day fast, that deal with some things that historically happened after 40 days or while they were on 40-day fast that broke up a lot of things. But it's really in hearing and being obedient to what God's telling you to do.
Okay, I got you. That's very well explained. Okay, we have another caller coming in, so we're going to go ahead and take this call.
Okay.
Hello, caller, you're on the line.
Just one question. In your terms, or how would you define, or how would you instruct someone to go from fasting to doing a consecration?
Ooh-wee, that's a good question. Could you say that one more time? I just want to make sure so I answer you specifically, too.
Okay. How would you advise someone, or how would you explain to someone how to go from fasting to a consecration?
I love this question. you just really said a mouthful even in the question, because fasting is not necessarily a consecration.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people, a lot of times, I know old school, they used to say, well, I'm fasting and consecrating. You know, they would throw that in and let folks know, you know, I'm not just abstaining from food, but I'm cutting the lifeline away from the world. And I think moving from, first of all, establishing that being consecrated has nothing to do with fasting. You can be consecrated or go on a consecration and eat all day long. But it's really about cutting away the world. And what is consecrated? To be consecrated means to be set, not just set aside for the masses' use, but to become unsecularized forever. When they were consecrated into their offices, God consecrated the priest as a priest forever. He couldn't be a priest for those days that he consecrated when he came off. Well, I'm going to go back here and I'm going to be one of the other tribes. It didn't work like that. You know, and a lot of us do that. We kind of secularize even fasting and consecrating, because after we're done, we go right back. When you're consecrated to go into that consecration forever, they were consecrated into their wardrobe forever. Jesus was consecrated and transfigured into Jesus the Christ, not just Jesus of Nazareth, but he became Jesus the Christ through consecration. Mm-hmm. Help me, Holy Ghost. So that consecration, it leads you deeper into the process of sanctification, and thereby God not just sanctifies you, but then he justifies, already been justified, he sanctifies you, and then he glorifies you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think moving from fasting in the consecration, we got to understand, really, really, I think they got to fuse the two. Because it just doesn't make, really doesn't make any, just even common sense to be fasting and not to consecrate. Because to not consecrate while you're fasting really kind of works against the fast. You know, what are you fasting from? Are you just fasting to lose weight? Are you fasting just from food? You don't like to eat ice cream after a certain time? Or is God pulling you into himself? Is he pulling you closer? And I think by turning the TV off and by turning, you know, the games off and different things like that, and from abstaining from food and from going different places, we, you know, because we all get asked for food, do we want to go to a restaurant when we all on fast? And, you know, the one food you abstaining from, here they come with it. I bought you some Krispy Kreme donuts today. you know, and we got to understand that I think we got to really fuse those two. I don't think it's just leaving fasting and moving into a consecration, but I really think it's just time to really fuse the two so that you hit a couple birds with one stone rather than, okay, I fasted, I'm coming off, now I got to abstain, because they go together. They go together.
Okay.
I really hope that answered the question. I really hope so.
It does, but, you know, in church it can be very confusing. Because some people
okay.
say, oh, you just need to just fast for 3 days. And some people may say, oh, you need to go on consecration for 3 days. Well, I know for me myself, I have taken 3 or 4 days and have gone off, shut off telephone, TV, communication, everything, no internet, no nothing, and just stayed before God. I was ridiculed at one time, but I could care less because when I came out, I was someplace else. But I asked the question because, again, I say, you know, sometimes it can be a bit confusing. Because you have different leaders saying different things, and sometimes people get the misconception of the difference, if there really is a difference between fasting and consecrating. And growing up in a Pentecostal / holiness / Baptist / Catholic era, where I went to all, you know, attended all three, you know, it was a vast difference. So I know what I grew up, what I was taught as a child, under the Pentecostal way, but of course Baptists don't believe that, and of course the Catholics do something totally different.
Right.
You know, to make sure, I mean, I kind of understood it, but just to get clarification and verification, that's it.
Amen. All right, God bless you, woman of God. All right, Apostle, I have someone emailing me about this dream, but before I do that, can you explain to the people what's the difference between consecration and fasting? Because some people, like me, was taught that it was basically the same thing.
Okay, I could give a quick example, and then I'm going to let Apostle go into the depths of that. For me, an example. When I'm fasting away from the, you know, food or certain types of food. Sometimes it could be, well, God wants me to drink nothing but water all day today. And then, or from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., there are times where God could call a person to a fast where he may tell them don't eat or drink anything for that day. Or they may have to do vegetables. There was times where I was placed on fast where I had to eat raw vegetables. I was not allowed to cook my vegetables. I don't know why they tortured us like that. And they did. But one particular time, for 3 days, I had to eat raw vegetables. So I had corn. I ate lettuce. I was like, I feel like I'm eating like a rabbit. But believe it or not, I did get results off of that three-day fast, and I had to drink nothing but water. There was another fast where we called a Daniel's fast where there was fruit, nuts, veggies, grains, some grains. Apostle can go into depth about that for those who may want that information because even though we can't eat grains, there were some grains that were still not good for the Daniel's fast. So all of those, you know, usually when you're thinking about fasting, it usually pertains to food. And some people say, oh, I'm fasting from the television or I'm fasting from the telephone. That's where the consecration part kind of comes in. Fasting, there is a scripture in the Bible that talks about fasting. What's the purpose of fasting? Why are you fasting? To set the captives free. When you want to see deliverance take place, healings or things to manifest for you in your life, then you will fast. But when you're coming, when you're like getting into a place of righteousness, when this concerning your soul, when this concerns your walk with Christ and your relationship with Christ, that's when you enter to this realm of consecration. And sometimes it's best to do both. When you're going on a consecration, when God is calling you to consecration or to live a consecrated life, for some of you, you may have to take on the narrative right now. Apostle explained that as well. It's still good that you fast along with that you abstain from certain meats or that you abstain from certain foods or things like that. When you're consecrating, now when I consecrate, Apostle will tell you, I consecrate. There's no television, no telephone. I don't go to secular places.
Now, I'm a mother, so some places I still have to go to. Like, I still have to go and pick up my baby from school and go to PTA meetings when they call for one. I still have to go to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
I still may have to go to the laundromat or do laundry or, you know, places like that. I still may have to go shopping or whatever. But when it comes down, sometimes if God tell me, don't even go to the hair salon. If God tell me, do not go to Target. I mean, just this is me now. You know, just secular places. Don't, you know, go to these concerts or, you know, things like that. Things are dealing with the world that could cause some type of contamination to your spirit. Those things are dealing with consecration. God may say, don't read anything dealing with the secular world. So that may mean your Dread magazines, the Vibe magazines, and the Oprah, and if you like me, the Paula Deen magazines, and, you know, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, you know, things that you find pleasure in that has no dealing with the Word of God. In other words, to put it all in short, if it does not help you in your spirit, if it does not help you with your walk in Christ, then you have to cut it off. You have to think about the lifestyle and the livelihood of the priests. The things that they did inside the temple were not the things that the people were allowed to do outside of the temple. And everybody
mm-hmm.
was not allowed to come into the temple or into the tabernacle, I'm sorry, and things of that nature. So what they did outside the tabernacle, the priests couldn't do it on the inside. That's a consecrated life. Just abstaining from worldly things. So I'm going to let Apostle go in through the depth with that.
Okay.
That wasn't deep enough? No, I'm just saying. but, you know, I think that a lot of times you really have to see it spiritually first.
Yeah.
And that's
mm-hmm.
really how I see it. Fasting is afflicting your soul for a certain benefit. And really for discipline, it's disciplining your spirit
yes.
to take on a certain endowment or a certain grace or a certain thing that God wants to do in you. It's really turning you down so that God can be enhanced in you. But it goes
mm-hmm.
to another level when you say consecrate, because you can only consecrate to become holy. You can't consecrate to become anything else but holy.
Wow. Okay, awesome. Yes.
It's not, you know, you may be fasting for a certain goal or get to another result because, you know, lo and behold, it may not necessarily be the spiritual fast that we go on, but the world
mm-hmm.
fasts, you know. The world
mm-hmm.
goes on different types of fasts. But when you say consecrate, and that came from, you know, the kingdom of God, all
mm-hmm.
I can think about was in Exodus, when God called them on consecration, they were consecrated forever. They were consecrated to be holy priests unto God for the rest of their lives. They could not really take that wardrobe off and say, oh, I'm just going to be common again. It doesn't work like that. So a lot of us, God is calling us into these callings and these offices, and some of us are going to new realms and new dimensions and new assignments and jobs in the spirit and new things that, and it manifests in a different way in the natural. But in order to really understand it and be sustained, just like the woman of God, she may not, you know, not necessarily need to consecrate, but it wouldn't
mm-hmm.
hurt because there's something, you know, even on her job that she was dealing with, there's like, wow, it's out of my control, that
mm-hmm.
God, some kind of way through consecration, puts your spirit back in alignment and back in control of the situation where you don't have to raise your fist or open up your mouth. You are just being put back in control where God dies you down and he turns himself up on the inside of you to the point that people don't see you anymore. They see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that certain things that you've been praying for, now it's just a reaction.
Wow. That's
you,
awesome.
You can only be consecrated to become holy. You can't be consecrated to be a better preacher. Help
mm-hmm.
me God. Be consecrated to be a better, you know, church goer or tithe or whatever you think you're doing. God is trying to make you like him when he says consecrate.
To make you like him.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And it does more than just praying. And that's another thing. When you fast or consecrate, pray. Don't just fast and don't pray. Because you're
yes.
just going to be a hungry, saved person. Because prayer helps to tie up some things. It gets God in it when you pray.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. Because a lot of us are going on these, I don't know where this comes from,
But God told me a lot of us going on these fasts and these consecrations, and we don't pray.
Right.
And, and here's the real word. We don't intercede.
That's right.
Ooh, yes.
I mean, see, for the grown-ups, it's intercede. For somebody coming into the kingdom, you may just be able to pray over you and your family. But a lot of us is calling on fast. He ain't calling you to pray for you and yours. You're
mm-hmm.
poor no more.
Mm-hmm.
He calling you to pray for the nations.
Yes.
He calling you to pray for people other than yourself. God got you in consecration. What you praying for you for? He,
exactly.
He got you there.
Wow.
The consecration got you. Now, he needs your prayers while you're on consecration to help somebody else that's not on it.
Mm.
That was the whole job of the priesthood. They didn't go in a prayer, God, I just keep me on this consecration. Oh, Lord, while we sacrificing this bull, just keep me. Lord, if I put my hands wrong in the brazen lever, just help me, Lord. It wasn't like that. They didn't go in the temple to pray for them. They came in the temple to be consecrated, to be holy like God, so when people saw them, they didn't see them anymore. They saw God.
Yes.
And so God can see, somebody can see God in you.
Mm-hmm.
You're being brought closer to God so somebody else can. You don't need to be praying about a whole bunch of stuff when you go on consecration. God got you. That's why he got you there. You prayed,
mm-hmm.
so he said go on consecration. That's why you're there. And while you're on consecration, he worked. Ha-ha, glory. And y'all, I'm just old school. But Shirley Caesar said he's working it out for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Working it out for you.
Amen. Wow. Well, I have someone emailed me a dream.
Wow.
And they don't, I'm not going to actually, they don't want me to say their name or anything like that. But they say, my dream is very explicit without being vulgar. The man in my dreams followed me around. At times, he was hiding like from my friends. This man wanted to get intimate with me. The only thing I married and have been for 17 years. He wanted to hide in my house and wait for me to have me. He tried to lure me into the closet several times. I was very attracted to this man. Could this be God wanting to be close? The dream is more intense, but I think I revealed enough. God, you... She said, God used me last Sunday in church in a very different way. I dreamed that a woman was rubbing the soles of my feet with anointing oil. I was urged to anoint the church feet, new direction, new territory, their souls. She said her spirit was the spirit was heavy upon her.
Okay, about the second half, I think is okay, but that first half, I want to say this. This is not just for the woman or guy who sent the email. This is for everybody that's listening under the sound of my voice. You have to be very, very, very watchful, prayerful, and careful when the spirit of incubus comes into your dreams. Or the spirit of succubus, or for some people, when you're dealing with the plural part, incubi and succubi, you have to be very, very careful with those spirits because a lot of times, let me give a case in point. I had a friend, had a dream, and she said in her dream, she dreamt that she woke up, and it was a night husband. She didn't know it was a night husband because the night husband, which is a spirit, the night husband came in the form of her best friend, which was a woman. And the woman was standing beside her bed, and she said, hey, do you want to be able to prophesy? Do you want to be able to lay hands and speak in tongues and things like that? And she said, yeah, you know, I've been praying for this. She said the whole time she thought she was awake. And she said, oh, and every time she tells this story, I laugh because, I was there at the service when she testified about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was during testimony service when she told it, and she said, the woman said, well, you stay laying in your bed, but you got to let me come into you. And she said, what? And she asked this question. If y'all knew her, you all would laugh too because, she's silly, but she's very for real. So the lady said, well, you got to let me come into you so you're able to do all of these things. And she said, well, is it going to hurt?
And she said, no, it's not going to hurt. You know, you just, you know, you need to have my spirit. And so she said, well, okay. And this woman laid on top of her and went into her body, and she woke up out of the dream speaking in tongues. This is a girl at prior times I had been praying for, had been praying with on, you know, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but she never done it. But she did it when she woke up out of this dream, and they were not from God. You have to be aware of familiar spirits, the spirit of incubus, the spirit of succubus, the night husband, the spirit of Nair, and things of that nature. And I tell a lot of my dreamers who contact me with their dreams that when you have been attacked by this spirit, that you always pray and you ask God to cleanse you. There have been times where I have been attacked by this spirit when I was pregnant with my son, and so much so to where, and I'm not trying to be grotesque or anything like that, but fluids were released out of me, and it scared me so bad because this was, it was a horrible experience. I did not enjoy this at all. So much so, these fools released out of me. And I said, oh, my God, I'm dead in the miscarriage because I think my water just broke. And when I went to the hospital, well, they took me to the hospital to find out why, what happened, what, you know, happened. But they took this stick, and they had to swab the fluids when they came to get me because I had to go by paramedic. So when they came to get me, they swabbed me, and they told me that it was urine, but they wanted to take ultrasound, so they had to take me to the hospital to find out why did I, you know, lose control of my bladder, being that I was pregnant and then I was high risk. So I'm here to tell you that whenever the spirit such as what I have named already attack you, ask God to clean you. Ask God not to say that you're filthy or anything like that, but you want to be purged from that. You want God to come back and minister to you after that. And you also need accurate covering, because sometimes when a person is not covered properly, and I'm just going to tell y'all the truth, when you have no covering, well, there's, you can have a leader, but you can still not have a covering. Because if your leader is not covering you and not praying for you, especially women of God, you are left open for seducing spirits. Those spirits are coming, they'll have their way with you and things like that, and before you know, you're prophesying, you're laying hands. I know some of you think that this is inaccurate. Well, continue to be uncovered, and you'll find out, and you'll know quicker than I will. But trust me, you have to be covered, even if it's the Lord himself. Go into prayer, things like that. Now, the second half of what you went through and what you've experienced, I really definitely believe that that was the Lord. But because of what happened in the first sentence, in the first dream, you really need to pray. Ask the Lord to cover you when you go to sleep at night. The reason why the enemy is coming into you is because God wants to use you heavily in the prophetic. And when God has a prophetic anointing, especially for women of God, the enemy sees that. He doesn't know everything. He's not all-knowing, but he does know most things. So with that being said, you have to ask God to cover you, because the enemy will come in and he will try to contaminate that spirit. And believe it or not, that's how a lot of psychics are who they are. That's why they're so powerful, and they're all right, not in the rights of the Lord or anything like that, because, of course, the Lord, they have no power. However, this is where psychics get their abilities from. These are how people can do things such as, like, clairvoyances and, you know, phone voyances and witchcraft with the word and things like bibliomancy, things like that. Again, I'm not accusing you of that. Please don't think that, because we know for you to be an anointed vessel of the Lord. But the enemy desires to sift you as wheat, one, and the enemy wanted to contaminate you before you went and did that work, and it did not work. The weapon that was formed against you, it did not prosper, woman of God. So basically, in a nutshell, I just want you to be encouraged, and that whenever the enemy come and attack you like that, you still be encouraged in the midst of that, because he's attacking you because of the anointing on your life. And you have to wake up from dreams like that, and everybody else that's listening on this broadcast, you have to pray against the spirit of lust, the spirit unclean spirits, familiar spirits, spirits of divination of whatever kind, because they will try to tap into you so that you can flow out of divination. It's happened to me, and I had to pray against the same thing. You know, it happens to the best of us. However, God is going to do great things for you, and he's going to take you to higher heights and deeper depths in him.
Yes. Well, one of the things she asked, was it in a scripture reference to this? To be honest with you, when you start researching spirits and demons, you really have to be careful, because you go into a realm, and if you're not prayerful, you can really get caught up in it. I would suggest that you get with the apostle and the prophetess privately on that matter, because, again, that's just information that I prefer not to give out, because a lot of people is not ready to go into that realm.
No, they're not ready for that. There's some material that we can definitely help her with. All she has to do is study Canaan, study Baal practices. If she studies the Baal practices, the worships of the Babylonians, especially throughout the Old Testament and things like that, you may not find it exactly like that. But when you begin to go into, and you do need to be careful when you start delving into that, because me and Apostle, I'm sitting here and I'm studying a book, and I dare not to say the name because some of you will probably get scared out of your mind, because everybody's not ready for the level of welfare that we, that's okay. No, it's okay. However, going to the Babylonian worship and Babylonian practices, especially the kings of Persia, those who were kings of that area, you want to study their lifestyle, who they worship. Like I said, study the god of Baal. Study about Asherah and things like that, the god of Jezebel, who she worshiped, which is still Baal. It's all going to take you back. And when you begin to study those practices, and when they show you in the scripture, they're going to give you, I don't know how many scripture references it's going to give you, but it's going to tell you what they did, how they did it, why they did it, what it was done for, things that happened to those people who practiced those practices. It will tell you what they've encountered when they were asleep and things of that nature. And you have to be very careful that when you do go into study with that, that you don't delve into the occultic practices. And I know you're not, but sometimes if you're a reader like me, when it comes down to things like that that grab your interest, it's real easy to say, I'm going to get this occultic book and find out exactly what the enemy is trying to do, and God may not want me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, the person said that now,
but you have to be careful with that.
The person said now that she knows where that spirit come from, it was transferred. So I'm assuming what you're saying, it revealed to her why she had that dream. And one of the things I want to say is, when it comes to demonology, it can really, really be, you have to be careful, just like the prophet said. But I'm thinking,
well,
I want
to. I just have to say very quickly, because God gave me a specific word for that specific thing. In reference to that, and I'll make mention of that so we can go on, but the woman of God, that with that first encounter, what it is, it was not a demon spirit. That was a human spirit, and that was called a night husband. There is, see, the enemy knows we're anointed, and the enemy sees potential, and he will send people. What happened is the enemy is trying to send a man to break up her marriage. And help me, Holy Ghost. And this man has not manifested yet, but the enemy will work on your spirit, and your spirit represents you. That house in your dream represents your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy trying to pull you in a closet, in a place, there's a place in your spirit that God has to purify. Or the enemy will send somebody that you are highly attracted to, and it doesn't mean that anything can happen. But it will start to work on your marriage. And there are certain spirits that people that don't like us, that know we walk in integrity, walk in the anointing, they will pray word curses. See, I could take you to a script, many scripture references, but they don't reference voodoo or hoodoo in the Bible, because it wasn't going on in Israel. No, it's witchcraft. It wasn't going on at that time in Israel. And that's the kind of thing that really I'm seeing. It's like hoodoo. It's like magic. It's like protective magic.
Amen.
That someone's doing against our household. So the anointing will keep going, but the enemy will try to set up something in her spirit that will try to hinder her and start the end of the word, so that the job that God birthed her for, she won't be able to finish. But I decree and declare that God take total residence in your house, and I cancel the assignment even with a death in my tongue. I speak death to that assignment that the enemy sent, and I speak clarity to your spirit and to your mind and to your soul in the name of Jesus, and that you will complete the assignment that God sent you for.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, God.
Keep your hands, Providence.
Now, she said that she heard you, apostle, and she believed her assignment is over, I guess, at the church she's at. She's saying some other things on the chat as well. But, apostle, do you want to pray about heaven? Because you guys, they will be on this show once a week until God say something different. But do you want to pray about having a show where we can, that you guys can kind of just touch a little bit about demonology and things like that, or you want to just wait?
Yes.
Yeah, we have to touch a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Amen.
And you guys, please, so you want to try to do that next week?
Sure.
Okay. So you guys, please get the message out. We will be Demons and Deliverance on next week. I guess it'll be Monday around the same time. I have all the information, so you guys, most of you guys are already on Facebook, so I'll have the information. But because a lot of people don't know, the church is really asleep when it comes to the spirit world. They think they know, but they really don't know. And it's just like I was telling my mom yesterday, it's just like Jesus had to go to hell to preach the gospel. Sometimes you have to go into, I ain't going to say it, but anyway, yeah, we. I let you guys handle that. But this is something that,
amen,
I think apostles and prophets, to me, I call them experts in this area. And we need to hear it. We need to hear it. So you guys, please tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell the center, tell everybody about this radio show, because I believe we are in an hour where people's eyes need to really become open into the spirit realm and not just fleshly all the time.
Yes.
So, and one person asked what time. It will be 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And what time zone are you guys on, Apostle? Is it Eastern Standard Time? I don't know. Well, I think you guys on Eastern Standard Time, but it's 7 o'clock your time.
Yeah.
So it'll always be, when I have them on the show once a week, it'll be 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, which is our time here in Jacksonville. He's in Memphis, so it'll be 7 o'clock their time. So
yeah,
if you're on the same time zone, then it'll be 7 o'clock p.m. that their time. And we will have it Monday. I'm going to actually put out the post today. Demons and Deliverance, you said, Apostle?
Yes, yes.
And you guys, some of you guys, if you are in my phone list and when I text you the show, please text it out, because we really want people to be changed. We want people to have knowledge. We want people to be delivered, saved, whatever it is, we want them to call in on this show. So we have like 23 more minutes. If any of you guys have any questions or anything, you can call in, press 1, or you can leave a chat. But the lady that I read the dream to you guys, she said now she knows why that spirit came to her. And she wants to let you guys know that she did hear you, Apostle, and now she understands. And she also was saying about the spirit of Inca, but she said she heard of that before. So
yeah,
I guess she want more information on it. So I'm assuming you guys will give all that information next week.
Amen. And also, I did tell you I was going to squeeze in to give the ministry a phone number out.
Please.
Okay. And then I almost forgot. I'm sitting here holding it right here, and I almost forgot. But it is 901-300-9039.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
okay,
that number is 901-300-9039. If you need us to repeat it, just shoot a chat message or just request for it, and we'll be glad to do so.
I wrote it down myself because I have people inboxing me on Facebook, and I didn't remember the number myself, so I had to write it down as well. So if you guys don't have any more questions, like I said, we'll be on next week around the same time. We can actually end this call now. You guys be blessed. And again, don't forget, before we end the call, give them your website as well.
Yes, the website is transformme2012.wix, that's W-I-X, .com/transformme. That's www.transformme2012.wix.com/transformme. And you can find material, you can find YouTube, going through Elijah Boot Camp as well right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot on there. You can sow a seed, you can get CDs, DVDs, and just get in touch with us. And
yes.
Again, God bless you. We're just so thankful to just be able to be on.
Amen. And guys, again, if you can't get in contact with them at all, you can also hit me up on Facebook or my website is tcopelandministries.com and send a contact form, and I'll make sure they will get all of your information. But you got, yes. Okay, I thought you guys said something, but you guys, someone is coming in with the chat. I don't know if she's, okay, she said she have emailed me. Okay, that's fine. So, again, like I say, you can email me at TianaCopelandMinistries@gmail.com, Facebook, or my website, TCopelandMinistries.com, and I will make sure that you get in contact with the apostle and the prophetess. You guys tell everybody about the show. We'll be back on next week, same time. It'll be Monday night, I guess. I don't know what that date that is, but I have all that information as well. You guys, I really appreciate you guys tuning in. This has really been a blessing. I mean, I am learning a whole lot. I'm really learning a whole lot. So, you guys, thank you for tuning in. Be blessed, and I will talk to you later.
We are so thankful you decided to join us this week. To keep up with ministry updates, go to www.TianaCopelandMinistries.org and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TianaCopelandMinistries. Join us next time and make sure you invite everyone to join us as well. We pray for you, you and you, that the blessing of the Lord maketh it rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22, God bless. And all will be